Welcome to The Being Leader. I'm Annabel Graham. Welcome back, everybody. Hopefully you've managed to take an opportunity to listen to episode 2 of this new series and really reflect on how things are working for you, how well they went last year, and how you're looking to move forward this year, and what that means for you as leaders. If you haven't, though, it's not too late to listen to today's topic and then take time to go back to the previous episode and reflect on what that means for you. And if you've already done that, then take a moment to pause after listening to this one and see if anything has shifted and changed. Because change is what this new series is about, and change is what we're all in the middle of. The environment around us, the world in which we work and live, is shifting. And in the organisational landscape particularly, there is unceasing change. Every organisation I'm working with is flat out, constantly busy. There are demands everywhere. And this means that everything that we knew, the comfort zone in which we've got used to working, doesn't always apply anymore. If we look back to how we worked 5 years ago, 7, 10 years ago, I guarantee all of us will have changed the way we work. Maybe the way we interact with people and the skills and technologies that we use. The pandemic absolutely accelerated that. Virtual and flexible work have become so much more the norm because of it. In fact, that's moved forward probably 5 years faster than it ever would have done. And so many organisations are working in a hybrid fashion. And more people than ever are working from home. Now, this certainly wasn't the way before the pandemic. We all know that. But it's increasingly becoming that way now. And that means how we engage, how we build relationships, and how we meet and interact with the people that we work with and those around us needs to change too. So I want you to consider, have you changed how you go about engaging with your colleagues? Or are you still doing the same thing? Have you just uplifted those back-to-back meetings that you used to have in the office for back-to-back meetings on Teams and wondered why you're feeling increasingly drained? Well, you're not the only one. And alongside that, have you got used to all the new technology and the digital acceleration that's happening around us? That could be technology we use to live our lives in the office, or the increasing use of AI that no one could get away without recognising the impact that ChatGPT has had in the last few months. And if we aren't keeping up with these technological changes, we're going to get left behind, because the pace of change is increasing and the changes aren't stopping. And finally, just look at our organisational landscapes that the people are working with. In most workplaces, we firmly have 5 generations. And all of us were brought up in different decades, with different influences, with different societal impacts and values. All of these slightly different. So that what's important for us if we were born in one generation is slightly different, and how we engage with work is slightly different. However, we assume that one size fits all. And that's an approach that's appropriate for dealing and engaging with everyone in our teams. And that isn't necessarily the case. Now, don't get me wrong. Gen Z are not aliens from outer space. They're human beings. And as humans, we all want to be consulted and coached. And we all want to be recognised and respected. But the way in which that's delivered may need to be different. And we're going to have to be conscious that we may need to change our approach. Because if we're not adapting our style and beginning to flex and recognise what we need to continue to learn, then we have a problem. And it's our problem alone. Because it isn't necessarily for other people to change. We can't make them do that. We can only change ourselves. Now, the reality is we are in a decade of change. And by 2030, how we will be working and living in the world will be very different. Now, I don't have a magic wand or a crystal ball to predict exactly what that's going to look like. But I can look back at history with a fair degree of certainty and say this is pretty much predicted. If we look at what's gone on in the last 3 years alone, we've had a pandemic. We've seen clashes of culture, women's role in society changing. We've seen the Me Too movement and Black Rights Matter. We've had huge amounts of migration due to war and famine and increasing amounts of technological change and digitization with the use of AI and automation at work. We've seen 40-day week trials across the globe. In fact, today I was reading a report that in the UK, of the 60-plus companies who started a trial 6 months ago, over 80% of them are going to make that 4-day week a permanent fixture. And across the globe, we're seeing rising inflation, challenges in income gaps and financial growth, and war and civil unrest. Now, those things in themselves may not seem that unusual. But if we cast our minds back 100 years to the 1920s and look at what happened in that decade, then we see there was a pandemic, Spanish flu. We had culture wars, but this time it was between different classes in society. There was a massive stock market crash at the end of the 20s after initial huge financial growth, which really accelerated income gaps across society. And we see that the pattern of women's role in society changed in the 20s with emancipation, the vote, and mass migration, particularly to the US and across Europe, and huge amounts of technological change. By the end of the 1920s, not only was radio commonplace, but television had started and we had talking pictures, and the 5-day working week was created by Henry Ford. So we have a pattern 100 years ago, and the same in this decade. And if we go back to the 1820s and the 1720s, we see exactly the same themes coming up. In the 1820s, it was the Industrial Revolution, and in the 1720s, the Agricultural Revolution. And there were pandemics in both areas and huge changes in society due to the changes of the use of technology. So for the last 4 centuries, the 20s has been a decade of change. And I believe we can look back for certain and say, no matter whether we like it or not, the world we're going to be living in 2030 will be very different to how it is now. And if we don't continue to change and adapt as individuals and as leaders and don't look to a new leadership agenda, then we've really got a challenge on our hands. Because we are firmly in the 4th Industrial Revolution, the information age. The use of technology and data is accelerating, and the use will become increasingly important. So let's see what some of those predictions are. In the next 5 years, the World Economic Forum predicts that over 40% of skills in any job will change. And if that's not enough, by 2025, McKinsey predicts that 85 million jobs will be displaced by automation. However, 97 million new jobs will be created across 26 countries. That's just in the UK and Europe alone. By 2030, according to Statista, 80% of the global workforce could be freelance, and over 375 million jobs will be displaced by automation. If that's not change, I don't know what is. It doesn't, however, mean everything is doom and gloom and the robots are coming and we're going to be replaced. That's not the case. If we look at the 6 key areas that they feel affect the future of work, the think tank, the Future Agenda, predicts some key themes that we need to start considering as leaders. Alongside that increase in digital productivity, then we need to be conscious about increasing green jobs and also the fact that we're going to see employment increasingly blurred as hybrid working and freelancing grows. In fact, many predict that by 2030, the standard working week will be a non-entity. And alongside digital skills, which obviously are going to have to come about, then some of the key areas that we need to focus on are the reinvention of roles and the word I hate, soft skills. Those soft skills, or essential skills, are going to be the things that really make the difference. And that means, as leaders, to quote a phrase by Marshall Goldsmith, what got you here will not get you there. We have to be thinking differently. We have to be checking in with our mindset and become really aware of where we are lacking in both our skill sets and our knowledge sets, and making sure that we're paying attention and actively working on all of these areas. So what does this mean for leaders? What does this mean for the leadership agenda and the skills that we need to have? Well, there's a lot of thought leadership out there, whether it be the Future Agenda, PwC, Deloitte, McKinsey, Bloomberg, Jacob Morgan. No matter where you look, there are key skills that leaders are going to need going into the new decade. Some people say there's four key areas, others a dozen. But actually, there's some key themes coming out. And this is what I think are the six key areas we need to be focusing on. Number one, as leaders, we need to be connected. We need to be able to dial up our emotional intelligence and really show up and be present for our people. That means that we're listening, that we're demonstrating empathy and compassion, and that we're being there. We're not just somebody who's responding on the end of an email. We are having good conversations with our people. That means we're paying attention to them, we're being present for them, and more to the point, we are making time for them. Because if people are increasingly working from home and being distant, those conversations and connections are going to be crucial. Number two, that means if we're going to be present and we're going to show up and be connected, we need to be intentional. Intentional with how we connect with our people, our teams, our colleagues, and our stakeholders. That means we need to put routines in place, because it isn't good enough to see or talk to somebody once in a blue moon, or think that your team member will call you when they want something. We need to be having regular one-to-ones, daily, weekly, monthly, and that's with our stakeholders, our peers, as well as our people in our team. And when we do that, we need to be really clear on our purpose and on their purpose, and creating those linkages for them so that they've got really clear goals and everybody's on the same page, and that we're aware of our role, how we fit into the bigger picture in the strategy and vision, how they fit into it, and also how we're coming across and the impact that we made. Thirdly, we need to be empowering our people. If we're working remotely, we can't make all the decisions. We've got to be able to let them get on with it. And that's through encouraging collaboration, enabling increased autonomy, tapping into people's ideas and input so that we can increase our diversity of thought and include people. It's also about building our trust with them through getting to know them and ensuring that we're using a distributed leadership style so that we aren't the only person with all the answers, but that we're coaching people, developing their skills, enabling them to be proactive, to take the lead and do what they need to do. Remember, empowerment is not about abandonment. We need to be checking up, we need to be having good conversations, and we need to be following up with our people. The fourth thing is, we then need to be thinking about the future. We need to be foresighted, and we need to be constantly horizon scanning. Checking in every now and again is not enough. That horizon scan needs to be part of our regular routine. Maybe not daily and weekly, but monthly, quarterly. We need to be paying attention to what's coming up ahead, what's in the future. That enables us to be more strategic minded about what we do, to be more conscious and constantly thinking about what we need to be paying attention to ahead of the fact, not when we're in the middle of it. You know, think about when you're driving. You're constantly scanning the road way, way ahead to make sure that you're aware of any danger or any maneuver that you need to make. We need to do the same at work. We need to be alert to what needs to change, what's past its sell-by date and has reached its shelf life, and what we need to be doing differently in our working lives too. Alongside of that, we need to be learn-it-alls. You know, it's a great phrase coined by Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella. We have to be turning up with that growth mindset and being willing to learn and to know that we're not going to know everything all of the time. If we're going to be aware of the future and that we are needing to have new skills to be able to change and adapt, we've got to be willing to learn. So we have to be conscious about where our gaps are, what we can dial up, what we need to refresh, where we need to tap into creativity, where we need to expand our thinking and listen to others. Because if we aren't able to do that, then we're just going to become laggards and get left behind. And this means, finally, we need to be change agents. We need to be those eager adopters of change who get our people used to it, who are willing to put new thoughts, new ideas, and new ways of working in place and switch allegiances when we want to. We need to be agile and flexible and proactive. We also, because of that, need to be conscious that we're going to be working in uncertainty and ambiguity. And we're not always going to have all of the information. In fact, sometimes we're going to have to make decisions which are very, very grey. There won't be black and white. We're going to have to learn with that, no matter how difficult it is for us, and be prepared to take calculated and educated risks. Because if we're working in the unknown, we're going to have to get comfortable with not knowing. So I'm conscious that was quite a bit. So I want you to consider, what does this mean for you? How do you need to be as we progress through towards 2030? Which of those areas do you need to dial up? Is there a need for you to be more connected and more intentional? Or do you need to be more empowering with your people so that you can free up time to be able to do that horizon scanning? Or do you need to get comfortable working in complexity and ambiguity so that you can more easily navigate change and be comfortable with being the student again and not always knowing whatever position you're in? So I'm going to leave you and invite you to let that sit with you. Because remember, this series is about change and how we deal with change both individually, as leaders and as organisations. And how we personally deal with things and role model it has a huge impact on others. So being able to recognise when we've dealt with setbacks and where we've taken that growth mindset approach and really grasped and embraced new ideas and ran with it is really something to make ourselves aware of. Because every time we embrace change and move forward and look at the new agenda, we learn things, we grow, and we develop new skills. And often we come out of the other side so much more capable and equipped than we had before. So consider, where are you going to put your focus? And what's the first step that you're going to make as you move forward? Thanks for listening to the Being Leader.